John chapter 10, reading from the beginning of the chapter. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used the figure of speech, but then they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Amen. May God help us to understand and to interpret this word. Been reading from a couple of passages. The main one, of course, is for focus is John chapter 10 and verse 9, where it says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, in this particular translation, it says, I am the gate. In other translations of the Bible, we find, I am the door. But I think given the context where we're talking about sheep and the shepherd and the land and safeguarding the sheep, I think probably gate is probably an intelligent guess and say it's probably the better translation because of the context. However, if because I was brought up with traditional translations, I do occasionally use I am the door or something like that, you'll know what I mean. But I am the gate is probably the better translation. And we also read from Luke chapter 16, from verse 19 following, that the parable that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, really a parable about judgment, parable about salvation, because the Lazarus, the poor man who sat at the gates, the rich man's house, was taken to be in Abraham's bosom, we're told, with God. And then later on, the rich man looked from afar because during his lifetime, he hadn't responded or done what he should have done. So I've got this parable of judgment, and I want to kind of link it up with what I'm going to talk about in John chapter 10. So these are some of the issues. And this morning, I want us to be aware that we are all accountable for what we do, myself included. We're all accountable for what we do or what we don't do. We're all accountable. Somewhere along the line, we'll all have to answer for what we've done or not done. I'm conscious that each one of us, including myself, will one day stand before God and answer for it. Every one of us. Just this week, I had a young student, a young woman. I had finished teaching a class and I came along the corridor. And she was standing outside my office looking very upset, getting towards the end of the school year. Took her into the office. We sat down. Could see that she was upset. What's the matter? She burst into tears. There was so much work that she had yet to do and to hand in. And really it's become a great mountain of work that she can't finish because she didn't start early enough. And I've been telling her as a tutor all year, you better get on with that, and you better get on with that, and you better get on with that, or it's going to pile up. And she hasn't taken heed. She kind of heard the words, but she didn't listen to them. And other teachers would be telling her, you better get on and hand that in. You better get on and hand that in. And she would just say, oh, yes, yes, I'll do that, I'll do that. And the work has piled up. And with only about a week or so of classes left and deadlines coming up, it doesn't look as though she's going to be able to finish her course. What a shame. So she's very upset because she procrastinated and she didn't take heed. And I couldn't help feeling, although she was a very nice young lady, I couldn't help feeling, I told you so, and so did other people. You've got to somehow take responsibility for yourself and get stuff done. Get your work in time and don't procrastinate. But unfortunately, she has procrastinated. And now she finds herself in a mess with very little time to get things done. And I emailed a colleague about it and said, is there any way, you know, she can finish your particular side of this course, you know, because she get the work in? She said, well, she's got a mountain of work to do. And it's not like she didn't know. We told her over and over again. Procrastination, I suppose, is a terrible thing. And if you don't get on and get stuff done, you'll get yourself into bother. That's the lesson that this particular young lady is learning in a very painful way. Because she hasn't got her work done, it's probably going to be impossible for her to get into the university that she wants to get into. So, procrastination, a bad thing. We've got to take responsibility for ourselves. You can't expect to go on and on and on, not getting things done without paying the price. And I believe one day, like the rich man in the story in Luke that we read, we'll all be accountable before God. We'll all have to answer for what we've done and what we've not done. We're told in the reading from John that there is a gate through which we must go. And that gate is Christ. And we have to enter the kingdom, so to speak, or the image in John is the sheepfold, the sheep pen, through the gate. The proper way in is through the gate. And only the correct shepherd can go in through the gate. And the sheep will follow the shepherd when they hear his voice, because they know his voice. Yeah? We've got a cat. Got a cat. Ginger cat. More ginger than me now. Ginger cat. And his name's Charlie. Name's Charlie. He's a right Charlie at times. He really is. Name's Charlie. Charlie gets into all sorts of mischief, and I'm sure he's used up a few of his 9 lives, you know. Only got about 2 or 3 left, I think. But he knows the sound of our car engine. It's different. Different from other cars in here. No one else has got a car like mine. Thank goodness. But no one else has got a car like mine. And he knows the sound of the car engine. And so Charlie could be away a few gardens away. If I arrive back from work, he'll appear and he'll be on top of the bonnet looking at me. Yeah? So he knows the sound of the car engine. He knows the sound. He's familiar with it. He knows it's a friendly sound and he comes to it, comes to the car. And the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They won't follow a false shepherd. Okay? They won't follow the false shepherd. They won't follow the thief. They won't follow the robber, they'll follow the shepherd. And the only way you can get into the sheepfold is through the gate. If you're climbing over the wall or climbing a tree to jump out, then you're a thief or a robber, and the sheep will run away. So that's the image that Jesus is using. And there's a gate through which we all must go. And that gate is Christ. And we have to enter the kingdom via Christ, via the correct gate. And in this way, we can experience the pasture, the joy of life that Christ has for us. So this new life in Christ happens when we realize that we cannot save ourselves. We need to enter into this new life via Christ, the gate, the way to this new life that God has for us. And there we will find pasture. But the problem for many people is that they keep procrastinating. The problem is they keep thinking they can put off till tomorrow to get stuff done, to make decisions, to make a decision about Christ. And even those of us who are Christians, who have faith, who have been converted, sometimes keep putting off tomorrow, taking a step forward in our faith. We put it off. We don't hear the voice of the shepherd. We don't follow. The problem is that tomorrow never comes for some of us. I'm not very happy if you look back at the whole of Christendom, Christian history. I'm not very happy with some of the images we've conjured up about judgment. No, I'm not very happy with them. I'm not very happy with people who try to stand in church and scare people into the kingdom. You know, they try to scare people with images of judgment and hell. I'm not very happy with the way people sometimes do that. But I think we have to take God's judgment seriously. I think we have to take our accountability to God seriously. And I think we have to know that if we are not accountable to God, there are consequences. And the rich man in the story of Lazarus learned that in a very extreme way. I don't know if you've ever seen the paintings of an artist called Hieronymus Bosch. And he did paintings, very graphic images of hell and judgment. Marvelous work. Whether Hieronymus Bosch actually believed in that kind of hell or judgment, I don't know. Or perhaps he was simply making a statement about what certain people in the church believed. But they're very radical images that I'm not always happy with. Great art, great to look at it, but very radical images of judgment. And I'm not very happy about the way people use judgment to scare people. Don't think that's a good way, because primarily the gospel is about God's love. It's positive. It's about the fact that God wants to save us all, to give us this redemption that God has. That's primarily what it is. But I think we must take seriously the reality of separation from God. I think we must take seriously that reality. And this is what both the passage in John and certainly the passage in Luke remind us of. We never forget that primarily God loves us and wants to save us. And that is why we have Christ as the gate through which we must enter into the place where we find pasture. The door or the gate through which we can enter into fullness of life that God has created for us. Primarily, God loves us and wants the best for us. So we must never forget that we will one day stand before God and answer for what we have done or not done. Christ is the gate through which we must enter into fullness of life that God has for us. What a shame if we procrastinate. What a shame if we miss out on all that God has for us because we did not enter through the gate. I'm constantly aware in my own life of my own responsibility before God. I'm aware of the things I do wrong. Sometimes I think about the things that perhaps I've done to hurt other people that I haven't realized. That's why I think an attitude of constant repentance before God is important. I'm not talking about sackcloth and ashes or anything like that, but simply maintaining an attitude of repentance and thanks to God. That's why I have this prayer, which goes on in my head all the time, which I've talked to you before. God, I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. And it's kind of personal renewal before God, putting myself right and asking God just to reveal the things that perhaps I've done that affect others that I don't know about. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. I remember years ago when I was a young boy, about 6 or 7 years of age, sitting in an old church in Scotland, which is where I come from, by the way, just in case you didn't know that. Sitting in an old church in Scotland, listening to a preacher. And the preacher was in the pulpit, high pulpit, and his long fingers and fingernails were coming over the edge of the lectern like that. And he smiled at us with his yellow teeth and with his long grey hair, a bit like mine. Maybe I'm becoming more like him, I don't know. Long hair. And he was preaching about hell. And he certainly was scaring me. He was scaring me. And I think we have to be responsible about the way we talk about judgment. It's there in the Bible, and it's there present in the Bible, but I cannot emphasize enough this morning that when I talk about it, I try to do it responsibly, because primarily the gospel is a gospel of grace and love. But it's also about accountability before God. And this is why Jesus has this image of the sheepfold entering through the correct gate. You know, and Jesus calling himself the shepherd, but also the gate through which you should enter. You can't sneak in other ways. You can't climb a tree and jump in. You can't do that. Sheep won't follow you then. They'll stay away from you. It's only thieves and robbers that do that. But I think an attitude of repentance before God is important. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. It's important to recognize our own weaknesses. And before we're tempted to lay the blame for something at everyone else's door, we have to look at ourselves and have an attitude of repentance and gratefulness, thanks to God. Christ is the gate. We enter in through Christ. The help comes from the outside. The help comes from God. The help comes from God in Christ as the gate. On several occasions, I visited the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. I will say the Vatican in Rome, but in actual fact, the Vatican is an independent state. It's an independent state. And I love to go into the Sistine Chapel and look at the artwork. And you know the artwork on the ceiling, you know, the two fingers, yeah? It's like God and humanity. And the fingers are close, but they're separated. And that says so much. It says something about creation. It says something about human being and the image of God. But it also says that there's a kind of gulf. And look at the end of the chapter, look, it talked about a chasm. You know, the rich man was in Hades. And Abraham spoke to him with the poor man by his side, if you want, with God. There was this chasm that says, no person can cross. No person can cross, not on their own. Not unless you go through the gate, proper gate. And it's God that makes that possible. And every time I go into the Sistine Chapel, I wish I could do it every week, but I can't. And look at that artwork, I think of that. But it shows us about the gulf between God and ourselves, and yet the closeness we can have to God in Christ as the gate who takes us into the pasture. That picture says so much. But God crosses the gulf for us and brings us to the kingdom. You cannot hitchhike to heaven. The roads are all closed. There is only one road, and it's been made clear through the gate in Christ. We need to take action. We need to avoid procrastination. We need to repent and believe. We need to understand our own responsibility for our own lives and our responsibility in our free will of responding to God. Else we might be like the rich man in Luke, whose riches didn't do him any good when it came to the end of his life. We have to grasp our accountability before God. I don't think we should be motivated through fear, through a fear of judgment, or a fear of hell. I don't think we should be motivated that way or frightened into the kingdom. I don't think we can be frightened into the kingdom. The gospel is primarily a gospel of God's love. We need to maintain an attitude of repentance in our lives. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm a great believer, as I've gotten older in my Christian experience and hopefully more mature. I'm a great believer in praying constantly. It helps me maintain the right focus. So I try to, at points of the day where there's a bit of space, just pray, you know, even a simple prayer, just to maintain or allow God to create that closeness in my life. Only God can cross this gap. The gap that exists between God and us, signified by those fingers in the Sistine Chapel. God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's greatness, God's unending love is poured out for us in Christ. Are you ready to receive this love? Are you ready to go through the gate to experience pasture? And it's not going through the gate. It's not just something that happens at the beginning of your Christian life. Sure, it happens then. But it's something that occurs again and again in our Christian faith. It's, conversion, I think, is a process. It's an ongoing process with God that's living and dynamic. It doesn't happen once and that's it. It goes on. It's a process. We're constantly needing to go through the right gate. Christ is the gate to enter into the kingdom. The door or the gate is not far away. We're ready to take a step of repentance and belief, and to enter into the sheepfold, to enter into the kingdom, to experience the pasture that God has for us. We experienced a little bit of that this morning as we felt the land and the possibilities of God's future can bring to us. We're ready to take that step to go through the gate, to hear the voice of the shepherd and to go through the gate, to experience all that God has for us before it's too late.